was a man named Rabbi Zacharias that I love. He's on YouTube a lot. He's a Christian apologist. And a Christian apologist is a person that explains in reasonable terms our beliefs. And he's actually very good at it. And I've really come to learn, and my faith has grown listening to his explanations. But that's not why I love him. I love him because of a story he told about his daughter. He told a story about his daughter, that once he was with his daughter and she was trying to get ready for work and she's just running around crazy and she had a five-year-old son and the son's just sitting there. As you can imagine, she threw breakfast on a table for him and she's running around trying to get everything ready before she could go to work. And she can't find her car keys. So she's looking all over for her car keys. And she says to Ravi, who's there with her son, she said, "I think I'm losing my mind." And her five-year-old son says to her, "Mommy, don't ever lose your heart, because I'm in there. Don't ever lose your heart, because I'm in there." Today's gospel, for what it sounds like, is actually a gospel about how do we see God, with our minds or with our hearts? In our gospel story, this parable is not directed to his disciples. It's directed to the chief priests and the Pharisees and the scribes, all the scholars of God's word, the ones that people would come to and say, "Rabbi, what should I do with this? What would God want me to do?" And then they would sit back and go, "This is what you should do. They questioned Jesus' authority. He didn't get trained by a rabbi. "Who are you that you say these things to us?" they would say. And they'd get angry because he spoke and people would listen. But he said, "Well, how come they listen to you but they don't listen to us? Jesus, what is it? What authority do you have that you should talk like this? And what authority do you have to come and say things like that to us?" Jesus asked them a question and gave them a parable. He said, "Which son is the son that did the will of the Father?" Now, back in Jesus' time, honor meant everything. To honor your parents was most important. So most people, when they heard this parable, and Jesus said, "Okay, you got two sons. One said he's going to do something to the father, but he didn't do it. And the other one said no, but then he changed his mind and he did it. Which one did the will of the father?" Jesus didn't say which one honored the father. Because had he had said that, most people would have said, "Oh, it's the one that said yes." Because you should always say yes to your parents. Whether you do it or not is secondary. To honor your parents, you don't tell them no. That would have been in Jesus' time. But Jesus said, "Who does the will of the Father?" Who was the one that actually did what the Father wanted? And it was the one that said no, but changed his mind. Jesus was trying to say, God needs to be answered in your heart and not in your mind. 2 days ago, I was talking to someone who, because of the situation of the pandemic, had a little time on his hands. And so he spent the last 2 or 3 months talking and thinking about quantum mechanics. He was all excited because if you understand a little bit about quantum mechanics, it has something to do with the particles that are floating around and all the atoms and the molecules of every substance. So with quantum mechanics, there's a probability of something being there. It's not a certainty. And so what quantum mechanics offers in science is a probability. So the reason that I put my hand on this and it's hard is because at this moment that I placed my hand, there's enough particles to make it hard. But if I did this a gazillion times, one time, the particles might not be there and I'd be able to put my hand through the whole thing. That's what quantum mechanics says is possible. So this person was all excited because the resurrected Jesus would walk through walls. And he said, you know what? I can probably convince atheists that it's quantum mechanics that Jesus could walk through a wall, because there's a probability that he could do it. And yes, that's all true. But then I thought, yeah, but that was the resurrected Jesus, as he rightly pointed out. And I don't know anything that that quantum mechanics explains rising from the dead after 3 days. Plus, it made me think about people don't get convinced by these reasonable explanations. I can explain, and you can say, oh yeah, you know, then it is possible that Jesus could have passed through here. Do you now believe in him? No. You believe in him because he's touched your hearts. We all have stories of God moments. Those are the stories that we need to share with people. I've talked to so many people whose faith is burning, but they just don't feel they have the credentials to speak. Who am I? Jesus touched me. This is what happened to me. But who am I to tell somebody? I'm not a theologian. I don't know all the things that the Catholic Church is supposed to know. Today's gospel tells us God speaks heart to heart. And that's the stories that we need to tell to each other. That's evangelization. Evangelization is not coming up with reasonable explanations. Some people might like that. They might think it's okay, but they're not going to believe because of that. Here's the problem that I see. We so often think with our minds. It's very hard for us to think with our hearts. Why is that? Because we protect our hearts. We don't protect our minds like we protect our hearts. Because our hearts have been broken, they've been bruised, it's been betrayed to, lied to, untrusted. So we protect our hearts. Our hearts to us are soft. So we don't want to express our love for God through our heart. And we constantly want to go back to our mind. We want to tell God how it's reasonable to believe in God, how it's reasonable to have faith. Last week, I spoke about the sin of envy as one of the seven deadly sins. And I talked about it in light of envy for other people. Now I want to talk about it as envy that keeps us from God. Because when we hear somebody speak of their experiences, their God moments, the miracles that happened in their life, we sometimes say, well, you know, that person, I don't think they should be saying this, or I don't understand, I don't believe that. We quickly judge them, and through envy, we don't like their credentials, so we don't listen to their faith. We don't listen to the story of their lives and how their lives were changed by God. So I thought about it. You know, I gave up being a doctor. I went to the seminary for 5 years. People expect me to be an expert in theology and the Catholic faith. But that's not why I'm here. I'm not standing before you because of any of that. And it actually doesn't matter. What happened is God asked me to become a priest. He called me, and I talked to him, and I said, God, is this what you want me to do? And for 5 years or more, he said, yeah, this is what I want you to do. That's why I'm standing before you. Not with all my credentials. They mean nothing. One of you that have had a God moment can stand right up here and tell the same story. When we were all baptized to the common priesthood. That means that you were all baptized into the life of Jesus. So if you have opened your hearts, you have had a God moment. Whether it's here in church, or it's outside when you saw creation, it's when you're sitting there with a fishing line in the water. You've had a God moment if you've opened your hearts. So Jesus is calling us and telling us God's communication is heart to heart, not mind. And keep your hearts open. And so when you do have a God moment, don't be afraid to share it with each other. Don't be afraid to tell somebody what happened in your life that changed it and how God is now in your heart. That's how you become Christ. And one more thing, if someone's telling you about their story, if someone's telling you about it, listen. One of the things I hear about, I like about Rabbi Zacharias is his story was that he was 17 years old and he was so despairing, he tried to commit suicide. His life had no meaning. And while he was in the hospital, someone gave him a Bible and he started reading the Bible and God touched him and he said, "This is the truth." And it changed his life and he became a person that for the rest of his life has offered us a great service in helping to explain our faith, but that's not why he did it. He didn't do it from up here, he did it from here. So I know all of our hearts are soft. All of our hearts have been hurt. Many of our hearts have been broken. But you must open them to Jesus. Because when he speaks, heart to heart.